gonna say, first of all, I'm saying good morning, boys and girls. Now the morning time, okay? So I know in the morning time, how many of you are really, really awake? You love the mornings. You wake up and you just think it's awesome. You like attack the day because it's like an amazing thing because you love mornings. Would you raise your hand? Okay, you guys are weird. Put your hands down. Okay. I'm just teasing. How many of you really like in the evenings at night? You know, you're kind of more alert. Okay, that's how I get up in the morning. Get up early in the morning, but I just don't. Mornings are like, they're kind of tough. Okay, so we gotta awake ourselves a little bit. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm saying, good morning, boys and girls. And as loud as you can say, good morning, Pastor Jeremy.
Yeah, like last night.
Here we go, ready? Yeah, like last night, but louder. Louder. I wanna see if we can maybe scare,
the bears.
For surviving.
No.
All right, here we go, ready? Good morning, boys and girls! So, in just a bit, I am going to do a little bit of a demonstration. So every morning, I'll do something kind of special for you. And we'll kind of build on them, okay? And so we'll hope to build on them and I not die in the process, but that's what's going to happen. So each morning, we'll do something extra, okay? So just a little bit, I'll do that. But I'd like you to do this. I'd like you to take your notebook out and your Bible and something to write with and get ready because I want to do a special message for you that I've actually entitled, How to Be Great in God's Eyes. Now, when you grab your notebook and your pen, you're getting ready to write this down, I want you to take your Bible and go to the book of Philippians. Philippians. It's amazing because in the book of Philippians, we actually learn a lot about Jesus. And God tells us something in Philippians chapter 2 that I think all of us desperately need to learn. Ephesians chapter, or Philippians chapter 2, it says this. Philippians 2, and we'll look at verse 3. The Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then it begins to talk about how Jesus did the exact same thing. Now, I want to tell you something. How many of you have ever seen a fight in real life? Okay? In other words, maybe you're somewhere and two people got angry and started fighting. Maybe you might have seen it before. Actually, it was a number of years ago. I was at a professional baseball game. It was Milwaukee Brewers were playing the Cubs, okay? And we went for this afternoon game, and we were working with a church in Milwaukee area. And so they said, hey, we want to take you to a baseball game, a professional, you know, like, that's sweet, that's kind of cool, you know? And so it was an afternoon game, and as we got there, because it's the afternoon, and it's during school, well, kids are supposed to be in school. People are supposed to be in school. And school wasn't quite out yet. But it was interesting because where we sat way, way high up in the nosebleed section. Does anyone know what a nosebleed section is? Okay, what's that? Yeah, just way up high. It's so high that it's like it's all the way to your nosebleed because you're so high. Okay, that's what they call it, nosebleed. And so we're way, way high, you know, up there. We're kind of watching this game. And then we look over and we see a group of teenagers who had skipped school and who were actually holding a big banner that they had made, I think, from a sheet of a bed, okay? I think they wrote it all on it, spray painted on it, and it said, we skipped school to watch the Brewers play, okay? So they skipped school to watch it, and they're showing us and holding up high. Well, that's not very smart, okay? Because they're saying they skipped school so that you can watch the Brewers play. Well, they're going to be put on television, potentially. So that's why they want to get on television. So it's kind of like a big deal. Except for if you're on television for skipping school that they play, then you're going to be found out. Okay, you're going to be like, what are you doing? You know, they're doing that. So anyway, that's what they were doing. Anyway, those group of teenagers were actually talking really bad. There's a point in time where they were sitting in a section where all of the people around them were Chicago Cubs fans, so it's the opposite team. And then while they're there, they were saying awful things towards the other team, to the point where they were using curse words that were this vile. I mean, it was just like, here, it's like, ooh. And to the point where you're going like, stop, someone stop them or something. I mean, it's, you're kind of a little bit of a from us, but I mean, I'm like, yeah, I think I had a kid there, maybe, I can't remember. We're trying to, you know, hold the kid's ears in a sense. And I'm like, hey, quit talking like that. It was awful. Till finally, this one guy who was sitting right in front of him got fed up with it. And he stood up, and I'm telling you, he was a big black dude. I mean, his muscles were bulging and everything, too. And he turned around and he says, you guys need to shut up. Well, all of a sudden, here the team's like, what are you going to do? Make us! And then they're starting to kind of say something and get in space, they're getting each other's space, and it's getting louder and louder. We're like, kind of watching this. And forget the game. Look at that. You know what I mean? It's like, and pretty soon to the point where all of a sudden someone kind of gets pushed into it and pushes the black guy, and the black guy grabs like was one of these little skinny kids, and it's like, rah! And I threw him down like another level. You know, there's like a spike breaking out. So, dude, these kids are all running, laughing, and running, and eventually the guards are all running around. I mean, we watch this whole thing, and we're like, whoa! You know, it was crazy. Some of you have seen fights break out. Some of you have had fights break out at home. Like with a brother or sister. No, that's mine! You know, something happens like that. We all have seen that, but you know what's interesting is this, is I want to take you to a passage of Scripture in just a moment here. Where some people that you wouldn't think normally were fighting, they were actually fighting. And I want to show you that in just a moment. Let's pray though and ask God's help, okay? So let's pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for your kindness to us. I pray, God, would you use this message to stir our hearts. I pray for each one of us in this room, staff and campers. God, that you would work in our hearts, that we would realize what you teach us in your word about how to be great in your eyes. Where so often we want to be great and we want people to see us, but the truth is life is not about us. And God, as we think about that, I just pray when you stir our hearts, when you use this message and series of messages, or to help us grow in our spiritual life and be more like Christ. So we'll thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you take your Bibles, hold that spot there in the book of Philippians, because I want to go back to that. And as you look at it closely, we do see this first. If you look at verse 3 of Philippians 2, it does say, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition. What does that mean? That you would try to somehow tell everyone, hey, this is life, it's about me. Like, you know, I'm the one to be seen. Selfish ambition means it's like, you want to do this, it's all about you. And some of you guys have seen that with people, and sometimes that could be you and me. That we wouldn't do things with selfish ambition or conceit, that means pride. Why? Because God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. We actually learned that even last night. But watch this closely. So he tells us not to be that way, but the truth is we're supposed to, in lowliness, we're supposed to, in a mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. We're supposed to treat other people better than ourselves. Well, that's interesting. Okay, now, as we hold our spot there, I want to show you some people who are fighting. Take your Bible and go to the book of Luke. Find Luke, okay? Find Luke real quick. As we look at Luke, it'll be Luke chapter 9. And I want you to see in verse 46. The Bible tells us in Luke 9, 46, it says, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. There's a fight. It broke out. It didn't seem to be a fist fight, but it definitely was an argument. And they're all arguing over who is the greatest. Now, who do you think is doing the arguing? Does anyone know? Does anyone want to have to take a shot at that one? Who do you think is arguing? Who's going to be the greatest? Who do you think it might be there? Yeah. It is. Wait a second. These are the people that God's going to eventually use to, in one sense, turn the whole world upside down. I mean, he's going to do amazing things to these guys. But here are these men, and they're arguing. They're arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. No,
I'm going to be the greatest.
No, you're not, Peter. No, I'm going to be. No, John. No, I'm going to be. Could you imagine this? It sounds like a bunch of little kids going, take mine, keep her. You know, you're like, what in the world? And adults can be this way too. It's not just kids. As you look at this, it's amazing that they're arguing, who's going to be the greatest? Now, I want to give you point number one right away, okay? How do you be great in God's eyes? Well, first of all, number one is this, is great people are actually not selfish people. The Bible is very, very clear that you're not supposed to do things out of selfish ambition or pride. That's not the way we're supposed to live. And if you want to be great in God's eyes, God is clearly telling us that great people are not selfish people. And God had to teach his own disciples this. Now, wait a second. In the book of Luke, right there, you have them arguing then, but now take your Bible towards the end of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Go to Luke chapter 22. This is later in the ministry. This is all the way to the point, if you know the life of Jesus, remember he did all the miracles, and he kept preaching, and then it gets to the point where he finally starts to tell his disciples, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be taken in the hands of sinful men. Actually, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die. I'm going to, 3 days later, raise up from the grave. They're like, what? I mean, they thought he's going to be the king. Like, he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to rule and reign on earth. He's going to fix it all right now. But what are you talking about? They just didn't know, actually. The Bible even says they wondered, but they never really questioned him at that point. They just kind of were, wonder what his teaching means when he's saying that. And at this point in time, now it's later to the point where they're actually in the upper room. It's the very end. It's like they're going to be the night where he's going to be arrested. And they're in the upper room, and that's the first time where we start to see the Lord's Supper. We start to see how he's instilling this and going to have a special time with his own disciples. But this is all just before he gets crucified. This is, I mean, like literally the day before he gets crucified. And so they're in this upper room, and guess what's happening? Actually, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 24, now they're was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. What? This is like 3 years later and they're still arguing over the same thing? I'm going to be the greatest. You know, God's kingdom. Have they learned anything? I mean, you're just going, what in the world? And yet, at this point, here's Jesus beginning to teach them even more because as you go further in the verse, look at verse 25. It says, then he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. So here's what would happen. There would be a wicked king. He would come in and conquer, and he would call himself a benefactor. A benefactor was like a, you know, like he's a really nice, kind leader. But he wasn't. This is a fake world, a world in the sense of lost people who don't know Jesus, and here's a guy who's a wicked king, and he's like, but I'm a very kind and good king. And everyone knew, that's phony, that's fake. And he said, that's what the pagans do. The pagans act like that. But that's not the way you guys should act. And as you look even further, you see that he's telling them, no, that's not the way. And actually, he goes on to then say in verse 26, but not so among you. I'm teaching you something different. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Great people are not selfish people. Actually, when you think about this, if you were to ask me, okay, I don't know, most of you don't know this, but actually for almost 15 years in the summers, I directed a camp as a junior camp in Wisconsin called Pioneer Village. It's part of Northland Camp and Conference Center. And so I would direct this every summer. And we would have, like, you know, all these weeks that we would do for the summer. And I loved it. I loved camp. And that's why I love doing speaking at camps. It's a wonderful thing. But it's interesting, watching kids through the years, actually have worked with camps from 1994 on, okay? You know what's amazing to me? If you were to say, Pastor Jeremy, what's the greatest sin that you see at camp? What do you think I'd say?
Yes, sir.
Being selfish. Do you realize every sin that you ever do goes back to being selfish or pride? Think about that for a minute. I mean, if you're gonna say something you want to say, and you're gonna act that way, you're gonna do this, it comes back to: are you gonna serve God or are you gonna serve yourself? And actually, all of the sins that ever come together, really, the truth is they all are based out of selfishness or pride. They all connect. I mean, if you lie to somebody, you know what you're doing? You're being selfish and you're being proud because you're like, I want to deceive them and I want to be in control maybe of that. I mean, you don't want to maybe get caught. And when I think about this, who, remember, is our greatest enemy? Yes, sir? The devil. And when Lucifer fell from heaven, what was he doing? What was the sin? What do you think it was? Yes, sir? Yep. He's being selfish and proud. I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will be like God. I want people to worship me. I want to be king. You think about all the sins we ever commit. It all connects back to this thing. And here's God telling us, wait a second, if you're going to be great in God's eyes, you cannot be selfish. But there's another thing I want you to see, too. Go beyond that. Because if you take your Bible and you go back to where we started in the book of Philippians, watch what it says in Philippians 2. In verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but, it goes on to say this, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So if you look at the second point here, where this simple point that you can write down is this, actually great people love others more than they love themselves. Now think about that for a minute. Is that true of you? Do you really love others more than yourselves? Because we're sinful and because we're broken, the truth is, you know what we naturally do? We tend to love ourselves a lot. We talk sometimes, and all it is about ourselves. We want to be first. And so we love ourselves better, and so we cut in line. But yet, God is clearly telling us, if you want to be great in His eyes, then you need to love others more than yourself. When I think about this, it was a number of years ago where I remember as camp was starting. It was one of these days where the first day of camp, so it'd be like yesterday, be the first day of camp in the summer. And the first days, if you're the one coordinating camp and doing it all, that's a lot of pressure, okay? And so the truth is Pastor Brian feels the pressure, and these guys all feel the pressure, and you don't know, everyone's excited, but it's like there's a lot of things that can go wrong, you know? It's like there's a lot of things that cannot work, and you think you got it all set up, but you're not quite sure. And I remember this first day of camp, and everything was just that way. It's like we had a huge amount of campers that came that first day of camp, and there's so many things that we're still kind of putting together, and the last minute you're running to do, making sure the games are right, making sure the preaching stuff is all going. And I remember when we finished that night, it was like 11 o'clock or something, as we concluded, I remember walking away and walking back to where I was staying, because I was staying in a fifth wheel trailer. Actually, I live in a fifth wheel trailer. We travel the country, and that's the way I live, as a traveling preacher. And so I make my way in this fifth wheel trailer. And I'm telling you something, I was really, really, really discouraged. Things did not go like they were planned. Things were rough, and we kind of worked through this, and it all went through. But I remember coming back, and I opened up the trailer door, and I remember I've got five kids. And at that time, I probably didn't have five, I probably had three or two or something like that, maybe. But when I opened up the trailer door, I smelled something.
And it could be all kinds of smells, because when you think about a bunch of little kids, or thinking about a baby, and thinking about physical trailer, it could be stinky smells. But this wasn't a stinky smell. This is an amazing smell. I want to open it up, and right away, I smell brownies. How many of you like brownies? How many of you like it when they're so freshly cooked? I mean, it's like, you just came out of the oven, that smell of brownies. And I'm like, oh, that's like a downfall for me. I mean, like, I'm like, eat the whole pan, maybe, if I can. I mean, like, and I walked in, and I smelled these brownies, and I look at the counter, and sure enough, just being pulled out of the oven were a set of brownies, and I'm like, whoa! I mean, I was super excited. I'm like, whoa, I don't know who this was. I was kind of, you know, want to be selfish. I'm like, just take some right now, you know? And I was having a really bad day, and I look over, and it's interesting, I look over, and here's my wife, and my wife is, like, super busy in camp. My wife was a camp nurse, and she helps with programs. She helps with all kinds of stuff, with secretarial stuff. So she's doing all this kind of stuff, and I have no clue. But I said, who made those? And she goes, I did. And I'm like, you did? And I'm like, that's crazy. And then I'm like, well, like, who are they for? And she looked at me, and she smiled and said, they're for you. For me? You know, boys and girls, it's one of those things where I had such a kind of a hard day, literally, I started to tear up. And because I'm thinking, wow, how did she know to do this? And she must have been looking at me and watching the day, and she was showing love and care. And you know what she did? She loved others more than herself. She had plenty of things to do. And she was staying up late and all kinds of things too. And somehow, she was looking after me. And I'm like, and you know what did it to my own heart? I mean, I'm like in tears. I said, thank you, you know? And then I'm like, I give her a hug, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, oh, it's so good that I thought, man, that is amazing. When you think about people who actually go out of their way to show love towards other people, do you know that's the same thing Jesus did and does? See, when they were arguing over who's going to be the greatest, something else was going on. See, if you got to see this, and I think the best passage that shows us this is found in the book of John. Take your Bible and go to John. Look at this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. And we'll go to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, here we are, upper room. Jesus is getting ready to be crucified. He's going to die. You would think, is he thinking about himself? And he's thinking about his disciples. He actually loves them, and you know what they're doing? They're just arguing. I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. No, I'm going to be the greatest. And the Bible tells us this, why they're arguing, that Jesus, in verse 3 of chapter 13, so it's John 13, 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, so here's the very Son of Almighty God. Here's what he does, verse 4. He rose from supper. He laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself. He got a towel, he got things ready, and after that, it says he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Boys and girls, in that culture, it's a very dusty culture. Kind of like even here at camp, when you walk on the road, there's a bunch of stuff to you. And then remember, they didn't have Nikes, okay? They didn't have Nikes, they didn't have Adidas, they didn't have any of those kind of shoes. And so what did they wear? Do you remember what they used to wear back then? Okay, what was it? Yeah, like flip-flops or sandals, okay? They like sandals, and so they're open-toed, you can see the feet and stuff like that too. If you were in a place that was dusty all of the time, and they are walking around, and this is grown men. I mean, little kids can have stinky feet, but grown men can have real stinky feet. And they're walking in all the dirt, and their feet, and their feet, I mean, some of you don't know what it's like, and you go, that would be gross. And you know what they would have? Whenever they have something special, like they would come into a place for a special eat and a meal, there was a servant, someone hired, or a slave even, of the family. But here's what they would do.
they were in charge of actually washing people's feet.
How many think that would be an awesome job?
Whoa, sweet, they can wash everyone's feet.
And you know what that meant? I mean, wherever they went that day, all around, feet stinky. I mean, you know, who knows? They got warts on their feet or something. I mean, they're just gross feet, dirty, yucky, maybe even cut. Maybe there's been some blood, you know, it's hardened up and stuff too, but their feet are just kind of yucky because they're just sandaled all the time. And so here's what the first would do. They would have a person who was hired on purpose, and that was their job. That was a lowly job. A real lowly job. But being in the special upper room place, guess what? There was no servant there. Jesus, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He's in the nosebleed section. Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator God. Here he is. He's looking and he sees the disciples' feet on all gross. He could have said, "Hey, Peter, get to work." That would have been right for him to do. He could have told any of the disciples, "Get to work. Hey, go clean everyone's feet. Or go wash your own feet." But the Bible says he sees this and sees the need. And he knows her feet need to be washed. So Jesus in love washes their feet. Now I'll tell you this. Peter heard this and was like, "You're not washing my feet. Are you kidding me? You are the Son of God. You know, you are not washing my feet. Okay, no way." Okay. And he says, "Peter, if you don't let me wash your feet, then you're not going to be part of me. You're not going to be one of my followers." Peter was like, "Whoa, well then wash all of me." You know, I mean, like, I want to follow you. Peter was always kind of real loud. But you know what's amazing? When you walk, when you go and you go down the aisle where he's going to wash all the disciples, even a guy named Judas was there at this time. Now, was Judas a real disciple? Yes or no?
No.
No, he wasn't. He was a phony. He was one who was going to betray Jesus. He actually, at one point, would be, even you could say, demon-possessed or devil-possessed. I mean, it's crazy to think about this guy because he was rejecting Messiah. And yet, here he is. This guy is going to have Jesus crucified and turn him over. And Jesus is washing all of their feet. And yet, here's a person who's going to so betray you to the point where they're going to kill you. And what are you going to do? Are you going to wash your feet? Or are you going to chop their feet off? You know, maybe like, "Forget you, man. You're going to try to kill me? I'm going to give you some pain." That's what we would normally think, almost, wouldn't we? But that's not Jesus. Even in love, here's Jesus getting down, getting ready, humbling himself, loving others more than himself, even to the point of washing Judas's feet. And I'm like, that is amazing love. That's an amazing thing. Now, in showing you these things, okay, and telling you these things, they love other people more than themselves, I want to show you one more thing, but before I do, I'm actually going to bring a counselor here, okay? I'm going to bring Carson in, all right? Good father, Carson.
All right.
And I'm kind of just going to give you a little bit of an illustration so you can kind of see this. And Carson, why don't you head to the seat on there? And if you don't mind, you can take your shoes and your socks off. And, you know what's amazing is I think about Jesus, and he goes and he gets himself ready. He gets a basin, the Bible says. He gets a basin, and he gets a cloth to wash the feet, and he has a towel. He's kind of all ready to kind of gird himself. And the disciples don't realize they're going to learn a lesson. They're actually learning a lesson from Jesus himself. They're all being selfish. Remember what they were saying before? Who's going to be the greatest? Me. No, I'm going to be the greatest. They're still arguing with this, and they're trying to even kind of keep an eye on Jesus, maybe. But Jesus knows exactly what they're talking about. And they are so selfish, they don't even see the need. And now all of a sudden, he realizes everyone of them needs to have their feet washed. And that's what Jesus does. So sure enough, he has it all down. And go ahead, Carson, put one foot there. It was one, but it's a little bit.
and he would have taken the rag, he would have grabbed the feet, he's been getting to wash their feet. Now, Carson, obviously, must have taken a shower or something, too, because he got pretty clean feet. That's good. But he's washed the feet. Do you think, as he's washing them, do you think he's talking to him? I think so. I think he's probably saying, hey, Carson, you know, I want you to know that if you walk with the Lord, and God's going to really use you. I mean, he's using you now in a great way. But I think about just even growing up, you know, it's interesting because I kind of knew Carson a little bit before that. But know his family really well. And, you know, it's interesting. Just because a mom or dad serves God and serves the Lord doesn't mean the kids will. But to me, what's encouraging is to watch even Carson, who desires to serve God with his life and the ways of God, to come to Alaska and to minister. You know, when I think about that, when I think about these counselors are not doing this because of money. They're doing it because of money. They're not very smart. It's not about money, but it's about serving the Lord and serving the Lord with their life and serving you guys and seeking to love others more than themselves. And the truth is we have, you know, we struggle through all that. I mean, it's like we're not perfect people. And can counselors be selfish? Yeah. But the truth is like, here's a counselor. And here's be like Jesus. And he just kind of encouraged him. Hey, Carson, keep serving the Lord with your life. Let God use you. And it's amazing what God's going to do through a person who seeks to love others more than themselves. Let's give him a round of applause. Okay, give him a round of applause. This is Jesus, though. He's encouraging his disciples. He's loving on them. He's seeing the need. He's loving others more than themselves. And he's teaching them to do the same thing. Hey, boys and girls, if you're going to be great in God's eyes, you can't be selfish. But if you're going to be great in God's eyes, you've got to love others more than yourselves. And actually, the last thing that you saw, even that kind of showed you there, would be number three, is that really great people are servants. If you're going to be great in God's eyes, then you need to be a servant. When you think about the people who are servants of God, can you think of any Bible servants of God? Can you think of anyone in the Bible who's called a servant of God or a minister of God? Can anyone think of anybody? Okay, these are probably Bible heroes. If you have any Bible heroes, what's one of them? Yes. David was a servant of God. What's another one? Who? Psalm. So at times he was too. What do you think of him? Daniel. Can we think of any girls who were servants of God? Yes.
Esther.
Esther was. Anyone else? Can you think of another girl? Yes. Ruth. Hey, can you think of any couples who maybe served God together as a married couple? Yes, sir.
Maybe John the Baptist
was. Okay, maybe. John the Baptist, everyone was a servant of God. Can you think of any couples? Yeah.
Joseph.
Okay, Joseph and Mary. Can you think of any other ones? Yes, ma'am. Okay, Abraham and Sarah, Aquila, Priscilla. I mean, there's a lot of different couples in the Bible. Actually, even the angels of God are actually called his servants or ministers of God. The truth is, if you are really, truly a servant, then you're really actually being greatly blessed by God. Actually, the servant, the one who's a servant of all, is the one who God says is greatest in the kingdom. Actually, as we conclude the story, you read this, look at verse 14 or verse 13. Jesus said, as he's teaching them to wash their feet, he then looks at them and he says this, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." That is true, he says. I am the teacher. I am the Lord. But then he says this, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's." Does that mean physically? That we actually go wash everybody's feet? The idea, though, would be that we have such a love for people that we look for the needs of others to minister to people. And if that includes washing their feet, that we should be willing to do that. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." He said, I'm not just telling you, hey, this is a good thing. I'm telling you, if you really know them and you do them, you will be blessed. You know what's amazing? When you actually forget about yourself, when you start loving on people and start seeking to help other people.
you kind of forget about yourself. And you know, the truth is, you're most happy when you're serving the Lord and serving other people. That's when you're actually most happy. You know what? I think most of us feel really guilty when we don't do that. When we're mean to a brother or sister, or we say, that's mine, mine first. You know, it might seem fun initially, but in the end, we kind of go, that's not the way we're supposed to be. And you look at this and go, man, what a teaching from Jesus as he's teaching us this. And I simply tell you that and go, hey, this is what God wants you and me to do. He wants us to love others and be servants. And I would ask this question, are you a servant? I mean, if I were to ask even your mom and dad, hey, can you tell me about your son or about your daughter? Would they say, wow, they just love people. And you know what? Not just loving people. They love God, and they seek to serve God in their life. They seek to help one another at home, and their brothers and sisters, not being a pain, but actually, you know, being a blessing and encouragement to one another. And I think we hear this, and I think we ask ourselves the question, we kind of all go, some of us are feeling what's called conviction, which just means the guilt of God. Right now, we kind of go, Pastor Jeremy, I don't feel so great. I feel like I'm not really a good servant. And you know what? This week, what I want to do over the next couple of days is really talk about this. How do we be great in God's eyes? All right, let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment, okay, as we do that. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to encourage you right now that you would pray and talk to God. Maybe you would just be talking to God and be saying something like, dear God, I know that great people are not selfish people. But God, I am very selfish. And I want you to change me. I want you to help me. I want you to rescue me. Maybe you'd say, God, I don't think I love people. Not like you do. I need your help. I want you to work in me that I would love other people more than myself. And God, I pray, God, will you make me into a servant? Will you use me? God, work in my heart. I hope that that's the prayer of your heart. Father, thank you so much for these boys and girls. I pray, God, that you would continue to work on them and bring them, and you would use the rest of this morning for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Real quick, what I'm going to do is have JT come up and just do one song for you. And when I see there's a song for you, I'm going to go right into the demonstration for you after that. So I tease kind of teasing the song, I'm going to move some things out of the way here. And that would be a little bit of a demonstration for you. Okay, so
yeah, I need everyone to stand up. Everyone stand up. Let's all stretch out really quick. Touch the ceiling. Touch the ground. Touch the walls. Don't touch your neighbor. Remember, don't do that. Okay, we're going to, how many of you guys know I'm in the Lord's army? How many of you guys know that? Most of you, some of you don't. Well, follow along. We're going to do just the first version, the original version, and then I'm going to teach you a different version that you may know, you may not know. So everyone, wave your fingers out, make sure they're all ready. Okay, ready? I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! Okay, good job. Give yourself a round of applause. Stay standing, because now we're going to learn. How many of you guys have ever taken a trip to Mexico? Anyone taken a trip to Mexico? Some people? Okay, so we are going to take a trip to Mexico, and what we need to do is we need to learn how to do this. So, we are going to, I may never take a trip to Mexico, so everyone do this with me. I may never take a trip to Mexico, ride a donkey oh so slow, eat a cheesy taco, I may never wear a big sombrero.
It's sombrero, but in Spanish, we roll our R. So everyone would say sombrero.
Sombrero.
Awesome. So I may never wear a big sombrero, but I in the Lord's army, si, señor. So the boys, let's all, we all bow like this. The girls, we all curtsy, and the curtsy is this. Like that. Everyone do that? Curtsy. Boys, bow. Okay, so are you ready to take a trip to Mexico? Okay, let's take a trip to Mexico.
I may never take a trip to Mexico, but I live on here all so slow. In Chicago, I may never wear a big sombrero, but I'm in the Lord's army. Si, senor. I'm in the Lord's army. Si, senor. I'm in the Lord's army. Si, senor. I may never take a trip to Mexico. Ride a donkey, oh, so slow. Even cheesy taco. I may never wear a big sombrero, but I'm in the Lord's army. Si, senor. Good job. Now the stage is Mr.
Gary. Let's give JT a round of applause. Well, as I do a demonstration for you this morning, I'm going to do something pretty simple for you. But and once it's simple, but it's not easy, okay? And actually, I want to give you just a little bit of a biblical thought through this. Is use it kind of for an illustration. And so actually, you can't see it. Oh, you can't see Tim right here. But actually, that is Usain Bolt right here. So we talked about the fastest runner in the world. That's him. And here's another guy on his team. So, too, but man, he is in the lead, and he is thinking fast. And actually, the Bible is neat because the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we don't just run. Paul said, I didn't just run to make it. I run to win. I mean, when he talks about this, he's serious about his spiritual life. And he wants to make an impact in his spiritual life. So actually, the text is actually 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 27. And actually, the first thing I want you to see is the idea of how do you run to win? And I want to show you this as an illustration, but I would say this. Number one, you must be self-disciplined. If you want me to read the passage, I will for you just a second. I want you to hear this. But in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run a race, they run all, but one receives the prize. So in other words, everyone runs in the Olympics, but only one person is going to get the gold medal, unless it's a perfect, specific, perfect tie. Okay, that's not normal. So one person wins. And so he says this is the way that works in like the Olympics or a special race like that. He says run in such a way that you may obtain it. I mean, think about how those runners do this. Say, do you think that Usain Bolt ever trained to run really well? I think the answer is, of course he did. I mean, an Olympic athlete trains so serious that they're careful with what they eat and what they drink, where they go, when they get up in the morning, how they train throughout the day. It comes that season. I mean, it is intense, intense, intense training, and they are disciplining themselves. That's amazing to think about. Well, when I read this, he tells you that they do this in verse 25, that everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. What does that mean? They are self-disciplined. It says, now they do this to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Actually, in their culture, they had games. They weren't the Olympics, but it was second to the Olympics in one sense. It was called the Isthmian Games. The Isthmian Games. These games were pretty interesting because they were training and they would have these races, and it was a big deal. And in the end, if you won, like a garland or like a wreath, even some said maybe even one on the head or even one around the neck if you were to win. But you can imagine if your prize wasn't a gold medal but a wreath, how long would that last? I mean, after a while, it would just kind of fade away to the point where you better be careful when you touch it because it may just fall apart. And eventually it would. When you think about even a gold medal in the Olympics, a gold medal, that's pretty significant. That's a pretty big deal. But a gold medal costs about $125. Some of you have like a PlayStation that costs a lot more than that. When I think about that, do you take the gold medal with you when you die? Do you win a gold medal in the Olympics? When you die, does it go with you into heaven or to hell? No. I mean, you can put it in the casket with them, but it's going to eventually get rusty and kind of fade away. I mean, it'll say maybe intact, but it's like it's not going to make it. And you think about it, these guys are doing all this, and Paul's saying, spiritually, I'm self-disciplined. Now, are there any things that you can do in your spiritual life that actually help you grow spiritually? Can you think of anything? Yes, sir. The thing that you do. Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Do you know the Bible doesn't read itself? Like, in other words, just because you have a Bible in the same room that you're in does not mean that you're a godly person or somehow you're spiritual because you got a Bible in your room. Okay. It doesn't work until you open it up and start to ask God to work in your heart and humble yourself and start reading it. You've got to put forth the effort. And that's how God encourages us to help us grow in our spiritual life. Not just the Bible, can you think of anything else that you do as a Christian that helps you grow spiritually? Yes, sir? Praying is hard work. Have you ever tried to pray a long time? It's hard work. And you got to think. You got to engage your mind. So praying is something you do too. What's another one? Going to church. You don't just show up at church. Most of you probably do not live in the church. So the truth is you got to get up and kind of get ready for church. You don't want to go to church in your PJs, probably. You know what I'm saying? So you got to get ready. You want to brush your teeth. That'd probably be nice to you. Everyone else would be happy. You know, but you got to get ready to go to church. And so there's the things that you do in order to help you in your spiritual life. Well, I'm going to show you something. And what I'm going to do here is something that shows some self-discipline. And it is called a poomse. Can you say poomse?
Poomse.
That is actually a Korean word. How many of you have ever taken, again, a martial art? You took a martial art before, okay. Some of you have even taken Taekwondo. Taekwondo is interesting because Taekwondo is a Korean martial art. So you'll actually hear me at times even say Korean words, okay, sometimes. But the routine I'm getting ready to do is a pattern of moves that show you someone who is maybe getting ready to go to test for their black belt, okay? And they would do this routine. And so I'm going to put the pattern moves together for you and do all these moves for you. Just that was my first demonstration. It's going to be a simple demonstration. One session. Simple but not easy. But it's kind of crazy. You got to learn all the patterns. And there's different kicks and punches and stuff too. Sometimes the pattern is really, really slow. And you're going like, what's Patrick Harris doing? You know? And then other times it's fast, you know, where you're like, oh, maybe he yells at you. Maybe I yell at you. Ah! You know, like, oh, you know, that kind of happens too. So there's a lot going on. It's okay. You're watching it, okay? I don't necessarily need massive concentration from you. Some of the stuff might make you laugh, but I'm like, oh, you know, that's not what you do. And other times you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to do this routine for you. And just as the idea that, you know what, you don't start taking martial arts and you're automatically a black belt. They don't go, whoa, look at that. Look how Billy is like super athletic, so we're just going to get him a black belt to start off. No, they don't do that. Do you know what belt you start off with?
A white belt.
And a white belt is like the most good. Even if you're like, it said, I think I want to take, you know, and you go to the first lesson, then you're automatically a white belt. Okay, so actually, if you have to take it, you're kind of a white belt. That's where you start. And so, and then the more you train, the more disciplined you get, the higher rank you get, but it takes self-discipline. It doesn't just happen overnight. In the same way, in your spiritual life, it takes self-discipline to actually grow spiritually. Now, you can be really self-disciplined, doesn't mean you're godly. But there's no way you can really grow in your spiritual life if you're not self-disciplined. So that means there's some things you got to do as believers, as Christians, to grow in your spiritual life. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go ahead and do this for you. You know, kind of get a little bit warmed up here. Actually, why don't you stand up? Okay, stand up for a second. Take your arm with this. Like this. Push your body a little bit. Yeah, that's easy to take your arms. I think if you can, swing them. I don't know, something might be good. Like that, maybe backward, like that. And you can sink your stomach out with your back. Whoa, way too much. Okay. Then you lean forward and kind of stretch a little bit too. Lean to one side. You kind of feel like stretch a little bit in the legs. The other side, stretch a little bit in the legs. All right. Feel like kind of go even a little lower. Okay. Kind of feel that. You can even lean to the side like this. You kind of lean, kind of pull me up. And just kind of stretch that way. You can go to the opposite side. Okay. Kind of feel that. All right. I think you're ready. Go ahead. You take a seat. Here we go. Now, when I finish, I'll bow. Okay, just so you know, in... Oops, my microphone, I don't think I'll get it. This is... In Oriental place, if you go to, like, you know, an Asian area, so often, they do not shake hands, okay? That's not their normal. In our culture, American culture, we shake hands. That's kind of what we do. And that actually shows respect. If you see someone, like, it's a pastor, hey, you shake the pastor's hand, maybe it's showing respect, and that's true. But in their culture, what they do is they look at each other, and they bow, okay? And the other person will bow back. They're not worshiping each other. They're not going, like, ooh, you're, you know, I'm worshiping you, and they're like, no, I'm worshiping you, and it's kind of a fight going on. It doesn't work that way, okay? But that's just a way of showing respect in their own culture. And so I'll begin as I do it, and I'll finish off, and I'll bow kind of out of respect. And if you want to clap then, you can do it around. Okay. So here we go. Sorry.